The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. No one has ascended into heaven except the one who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up on the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Peace and grace to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. The scriptures today tell of all God has done for us, how he loves us, gives us life and breath, and provides for every need. The scriptures also ask us to acknowledge our God and to respond to his gracious love. His love is revealed to us in the gifts freely given. Sometimes, though, gifts are more recognized when they are tied up in pretty ribbons, under a tree, or at a party. Isn't that a fun way to receive a gift? To be able to open it up with friends and family and invite others to share in the excitement. A favorite gift story comes from my grandmother, who was born at the turn of the 20th century. She was the youngest of 13 children on a South Texas ranch. When Frida was 5 years old, she received a teacup for Christmas. Not the saucer plate. That was given to her slightly older sister, Lita. Just the teacup. And how she treasured this cup, and she told me how she used it through the years for her morning milk. But on this Christmas morning, it was filled with walnuts waiting to be savored, and it was presented with apples and oranges, a delicacy in the bleak winter. Together, Frida and Lita shared the Christmas treats of walnut and fruit and cakes placed on the saucer while passing the cup of milk from hand to hand as they sipped and drank from it. Two sisters refilling the cup and laughing and whispering and sharing their world. Maybe her joy in sharing the cup and the plate called her to later faithfully serve the Altar Guild at Trinity Lutheran Church for more than 40 years. Sometimes gifts are unexpected. Sometimes the gift is not wrapped in bright paper with ribbons. And sometimes we don't recognize it as a gift. Such is the subject of this painting. A dog rescued from the fate of a continued life in a cage, of a life known only of isolation and fear. Steve and I were visiting my parents in the Woodlands shortly after my mom fell ill and had been released from rehab and was moved into assisted living. The last day of the visit, when Steve and I were walking, we spotted a couple walking three Australian Shepherds. I have raised and bred and shown Aussies, and Steve and I had recently talked about getting another one. So we increased our pace and caught up with the couple and the dogs. Here were two happy Aussies and another skinny, shy Aussie who was hiding behind the man's legs. She would stretch her head around to have a look at me, but she wouldn't venture any closer. The other two dogs were enjoying my pets and strokes and doggy talk, but this one could only cautiously watch from a distance. I commented on her conformation, shared my knowledge and love of the breed, and was told that I should apply to adopt this dog, a rescue dog, rescued the month before at the age of one from a life known only in a single cage. Now, I don't want a dog that is afraid of me. I prided myself at being able to evaluate the litters and choose the dog according to the preferred characteristics and temperament of the breed. In retrospect, the pup was probably evaluating me with her stares. Nonetheless, the couple gave me their names and the number of the star director and asked me to reconsider. As Steve and I drove home to Little Rock that afternoon, he asked if I was going to apply for rescuing that dog. Now, I don't want a timid dog. The next morning, while I sat at the computer, Steve asked what I was doing. God told me to apply for that dog. But it was okay, because I lived in Arkansas, and it was a South Texas rescue group. Little chance I'd see that timid dog again. 2 hours later, the director called and said she had received an endorsement from the foster parents and could I send pictures of my home and backyard. Oh my, I'm not sure I'm the right person for your dog. That dog is shy and didn't interact with me. She did let my husband pet her. Maybe you should talk with him. No, she said. She had been doing this matchup thing for years and they thought I was the right fit for that dog. 2 hours later, I got the call. Come and get your dog. Well, we drove down that weekend, and I adopted her. I named her McKenna, and we headed back to Little Rock. On the way out of town, we stopped to say goodbye to Mom and Dad at the Assisted Living Center. They were waiting out in the parking lot when we drove up. And then something extraordinary happened. My mother lifted herself up from the wheelchair and she leaned into the back seat of the truck and she began talking to and loving on that dog. It was the first joyful communication attempt she had made in months. McKenna leapt into my heart and I thought, if nothing else happens, thank you for this moment. But of course, something else did happen. A month later, as I packed my car for the trip to stay with Mom, McKenna jumped in the car and refused to get out. She was going. When we arrived at the center, McKenna pranced into Mom's room and lay at her side. My monthly visits to Mom included McKenna, the rescued dog. And so it was for the next 8 months as Mom slipped further away from life. Her connection to the dog stayed intact. In the spring, as Mom transitioned into memory care, McKenna would still visit, but would also visit the other women there and the smiles and the delights of them all as McKenna sat with them was priceless. This once broken, abused dog was able to bless others with her sweet, tender way. So this call for me to care for one of God's creatures was turned into a blessing for so many. You see, the lesson that Frida and Lita had learned a century ago was still so. The true beauty of a gift is in the sharing with others. This beauty of sharing with others is seen when Chuck and Ruth share their home with a college student in need, when the Knudsons and Margie serve at the food pantry, when Lisbeth and her sons volunteer to serve at our house, when Dorothy shares words of comfort and hope to other caregivers. It is felt around a pretend campfire as we share in the love and joy of celebrating the upcoming marriage of Emily and Eric. When we are moved to give of ourselves as a response to God's love, we share gifts, we share Christ, we share stewardship of our gifts. Recent Bible study of the building of the tabernacle recorded in Exodus so reminds me of the days the people of faith built this sanctuary. Now, building a tabernacle in a desert is no small feat. It requires skill and talent and materials. I mean, God doesn't just throw out a net and hope somebody with some skills and tools are going to be caught up in it. It begins with a plan by God and His directions. He directed Moses to tell the people of Israel to bring me their sacred offering. Accept contributions from all whose hearts are moved to offer them. Jewels, precious stones, fabrics, threads, gold, silver, spices, the plunder of Egypt to be given by the people for this offering. And then craftsmen were needed for the task. God doesn't just hope some skilled or semi-skilled laborers are going to show up. No. God tells Moses that He has filled men with great wisdom and ability and expertise as master craftsmen. And He's also gifted other craftsmen with special skills so that everyone took part in the building of that tabernacle by providing the offering, providing the skills, following the directions of the craftsmen, and carrying out any duties as assigned. What I find so extraordinary in that story is that at some point Moses has to tell the people, "Stop bringing your offerings. We've got too much." Isn't that great? Talk about joyful hearts giving all they had and more. And did we not see that exact same thing in the building of this sanctuary and fellowship hall at the corner of Mississippi and Markham? After being rejected by the ELCA's financing, we stepped out in faith, following God's directions, and we joined the gifts and talents of the people to build using sweat equity. And everyone had a part, from sandwich making for the workers, to the selection of the furnishings, to the staining, the cleaning, the sweeping, the mopping, the painting, the polishing, to the raising of funds. God gifted the people of faith with skills and crafts and abilities to complete the job. He raised up leaders, Carol and Bill and Peter leading our giving campaigns, Francis as altar maker and tile layer, Joe and Scott leading the sheetrocking, Steve as a carpenter and painter, David and Marcy with stained glass, Cheryl with banner making, Catherine as a decorator, and all of us following and listening and using our time, talents, and possessions to fulfill the call. It was truly a time to build, and in that building was the sharing of the gifts freely given by God and the renewed fellowship of His people, drawn closer together, doing His work, relying on His faithfulness. Building more than a church building, building a church family, a body of Christ who would share this facility with others, who would share the words of Christ and the gifts of Christ's love with the world. Being faithful stewards of the church is more than caring for a physical building. It is the caring for the body of Christ. Being stewards of the gifts and talents and possessions given to us by God so that others may grow with His love. Jesus fills our life with love, redemption, grace, gifts, skills, talents, that our cup literally overflows. As faithful stewards, we want to share that abundance with others, to provide a welcoming home for the weary, the outcast, the widows, the orphans, to steward our gifts freely, given by God to bring His word of love and grace to others. To remember that all we have is a gift to be used for His glory. We acknowledge the Lord as God. He made us and we are His. He so loved us that He gave His one and only Son for us. How are we to steward all that we have been given? Your stewardship committee asks that you consider your role as faithful stewards during the next few months as you contemplate the gifts, the talents, the possessions given to you. During the past summer months, many families stepped forward as stewards of the flower beds of the faith to tend the land given to faith. George and Virginia accepted the call to lead our landscaping efforts. On a column in the Northex out there is a list of those who committed their stewardship. In the upcoming months, you are invited to join in the stewardship activities of tending the grounds here at Faith, during the fall cleaning activities. You are also invited to share your stewardship walks through volunteering for temple talks. And in November, you will be invited to consider your pledge and stewardship for 2019. God calls us to acknowledge Him and to faithfully respond to His gracious love. We are called to be stewards of the mysteries of God, to acknowledge the Lord, and to respond faithfully to Christ's love. God's love cannot be contained. God crafts us, each of us, into living vessels, filled to overflowing, so that we may be poured out for the nourishment of many. Amen.